And thank you, Lord, that we are ministers of the new covenant, Lord. Ministers, O God, who are in the creation in Christ Jesus, being manifested by the Holy Spirit in His fullness, so that we will function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. That we will function, O God, even as we know that we stand before You, Lord. That our inward parts, O God, will be aligned, O God, to all that You have for us, O God, in Your precious Son. We thank You that there is an awesome array, O God, of giftings that You have for us, O God. And You mean to manifest these giftings in peculiar fashion, O God, in each one of our lives. So we pray that Your Spirit will truly indwell us. We pray that Your Spirit will truly move over us, always unveiling us, O God, as a people who unveil, O God, the witness and testimony of Jesus. Even as we move into the gifts, even as we function, O God, in the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray that all that is within us will manifest in the testimony of Jesus, Lord. That we will give expression to all things in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We want to thank You for the work begun. We want to thank You for the intents of Your heart. We want to thank You for what You have purposed in Your heart over each one of our lives. And we pray that as You write the covenant within us, O God, that the spiritual gifts that You mean for us to unveil in the tabernacle of our being, let it come forth in Your righteousness. Let it come forth and let it be manifested in a whole purity of holiness unto You, Lord. That we will function in the giftings, O God, by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. So that we will truly see people being set free from the law of sin and death. Even as we ourselves in turn are set free by the law, from the law of sin and death, Lord. So Father, bring us forth in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So that we will truly be manifested as Your righteousness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have been talking about moving into ministry. This is module 9. I think we are in something like tape 15 or so. So we are on the subject of spiritual gifts. And we have been talking basically on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4, 5, and 6. And now we want to move into what is commonly addressed as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there are three classes of gifts that verses 7, 8, 9, and 10 and 11 tell us about. So let's read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Most of us sitting here are very familiar with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifested in three classes. They are the vocal gifts, which comprise of the gift of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. Those are typically called the vocal gifts. Then we have the revelatory gifts. And the revelatory gifts comprise the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. So those three comprise what is called the revelatory gifts. And then we have the power gifts, which are the gifts of healing. And there's more than one gift of healing. Gift of faith and the gift of miracles. All right, that comprises the power gifts. But before we go into these giftings, I want to talk about the law that governs these giftings. I want to talk about the spiritual law that governs these giftings. Because it's important to understand that these giftings have to be manifested in accordance with this law, which is the heart of the entire new covenant. The new covenant is governed by a law that Paul writes about in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And that is the new covenant law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets us free from the law of sin and death. What has this got to do with spiritual gifts? Everything. Because what this law is declaring is that in the new covenant, all of us must always function by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. Only if we function by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus will people be set free from the law of sin and death. Now, the law of sin and death operates not just in people around us. The law of sin and death operates in us too. That's why we are dying in our physical body. When we function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, we supersede the reality of that law of sin and death. When we proclaim salvation, we are breaking the law of sin and death. We are transcending the law of sin and death. We are bringing forth a reality that is beyond the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death simply says this: sin and you will die. But we, as ministers of the new covenant, are required to understand that we function by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which tells us that in Christ Jesus is how you function by the Holy Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life. You live by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Only in Christ Jesus can you live by the Spirit, and only by the Spirit can you discover what is in Christ Jesus. It is the law that governs the New Testament. And it's very important as we talk about spiritual gifts that we do not think that the spiritual gifts are just something we experience. And because we experience something and it's something supernatural, therefore it must be right. You always need to understand that there is a very thin line between the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and something called lawlessness. The mystery of lawlessness, right, is doing your own thing. Doing what you want, disguising it as something spiritual. Disguising it as something that is, something is that is not the real thing. Having other motives in our hearts. It's very important for us to know this. It's very important for us to understand that we are called to function by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If we don't function by that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, then we start functioning by something that is not of it. Something that is of some other kind of spirit. And it's very easy to do that. Just as you can have thoughts in your mind just like that, that are not of God. So you can function in the wrong spirit just like that too. So it's very important for you to understand that we must understand this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I think there's a whole series of tapes on this that I did a couple of years ago. Somewhere in the stack of tapes at the back. But today I just want to bring that law of the Spirit of life and present it in terms of its four pillars so that you will understand it and remember it as you flow by the Spirit into the gifts that God has for you. The gifts are a manifestation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's very important to always remember that. The gifts are not about you being gifted. The gifts are about you being a vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a member of His body. We are ministers of the new covenant. And we minister in the new covenant from a heart of flesh that is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. We minister by the Holy Spirit because this heart of flesh has been written upon by the finger of God. It has been formed by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so your heart is at the heart of whatever you do. And your heart has to learn how to function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. It is very imperative that you have that reality in your life. Okay? There are four laws three of which are stated in the New Testament, one of which is stated in the prophets in the book of Ezekiel. There are four laws that talk about the pillars that govern our ministry. The first thing is addressed in the book of Romans as a law of faith. The second is addressed in the book of Romans as well as the law of righteousness. The third is also addressed in the book of Romans as the law of love. And the fourth one is addressed in the book of Ezekiel as the law of holiness. Four pillars: faith, righteousness, love, and holiness. When you function by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus, you function in a faith that is defined in Christ Jesus and is brought alive in you by the Holy Spirit. When you function in the law of the Spirit of Christ, of life in Christ Jesus, you function in the righteousness that God has manifested in Christ Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is bringing alive through you. So for instance, if you operate the gifts are a manifestation of the righteousness of God, defined in Christ Jesus and brought alive in you by the Holy Spirit. It is the Father's will. It has to be manifested in a faith that is always in Christ Jesus. It has to be manifested in a faith that is being authored and finished by Jesus Christ. It has to be manifested in a law of love that is again defined in Christ Jesus and manifested and developed in you and through you in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Because if we minister gifts without any love in our hearts, we're just wasting our time. Worse still, we're doing the wrong thing. Ultimately, everything has to be presented holy before God. And that's the fourth law, that you must be sanctified in your heart unto God. And you can only be sanctified unto God, your Father, by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. And that's the fourth law. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has a faith function, has a function in righteousness, has a function in love, has a function in holiness. So when you pray in tongues, all of those four things must be there. When you do an interpretation in tongues, if you are gifted to do that and flow in that, or you flow in revelation knowledge that flows out of your tongues, you must always understand that the governing realities of that revelation knowledge has to be that faith, that love, that righteousness, that holiness that is in Christ Jesus and brought alive in us and manifested through us by the Holy Spirit. Can you see that? It's absolutely crucial that we remember that. It's not a question of just having a word of knowledge, because there's a very thin line between a true word of knowledge and the occult version of the word of knowledge. Very thin line. And anybody can cross that line very easily. Anybody can cross that line very easily. So if you do not build something in Christ Jesus, and if it's not nurtured in you by the Holy Spirit, you will never be able to stay in your giftings in the right way. So that's why we are doing this teaching today. All right? So I just want to start off with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and that simply says that anything that comes out of you, anything that manifests inside of you, anything that is part of you, that is an expression of you as a living being, it has to be defined in Christ Jesus and it has to be brought forth by the Holy Spirit. Only then will the law of sin and death be broken. So you can minister and look very impressive, and nothing can really be happening in terms of breaking through the law of sin and death. Why? Because it's all about yourself. Now, people may feel the presence and the people may feel the anointing, but it doesn't necessarily mean that anything is happening. That's why we've got so many selfish people in church. That's why we've got so many selfish leaders in church. Are they gifted? Yes, they're gifted. Are they anointed? Yes, they're anointed. But something is not quite right. Why is that something not quite right? Because they are not doing it in and by and through the witness and testimony of Jesus. They have received a gift as we would a talent, and they're just using it any way they want. Just like Lucifer received gifts from God and used them the way he wanted to use them. It's a very sobering thought, but it's a very necessary thought, because it's so easy to move into lawlessness. It's very easy. And Jesus Christ warns us of that in Matthew chapter 7, isn't it? Let's read that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me, and I want to emphasize that word many, okay? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? All right, that's a gift. Did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons? That is also part of the gift. It may be a combination of the gift of the discernment of spirits. It may be also a manifestation of the gift of faith. Did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Not just one miracle or two miracles, but many miracles. Obviously, Jesus is talking about things that we have not really seen in the modern church today yet. And already we can see the effects of what happens when things go wrong. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Listen to the words. Two things he's saying. He say, I never knew you. That means there has been no intimacy between you and me at all. You have just been operating in your gifting and your anointing, and you've been merrily carrying on doing things in your own name, for your own glory, for your own agendas. And so he says, I never knew you. And what does he accuse you of doing? He accuses you of practicing lawlessness. Lawlessness. It's very important for us to understand this, all right? Because it's so easy for us to be lawless. All of us have the capacity to be lawless. I don't think we need an exposition on that. We already know what we are capable of doing. Just make sure you don't spend 20 years in the ministry. At the end of it all, there's nothing to show for it. So, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus mandates that you do everything by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. And you have to learn how to do that. When you speak in a tongue, you are doing it by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Because if it's not in the name of Jesus, you won't know what kind of spirit is working in you. If it's not in the name of Jesus, you won't know what kind of vision you are seeing. Because visions are just simply pictorial thoughts, that's all. The people who practice occult religion also see visions. So we need to understand this, okay? So let's look at the first law. It's a very important law. It's written in the book of Romans, chapter 3. Verse 27. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. True faith sees the evidence of Jesus Christ as Lord. True faith sees all things as being brought forth by the Holy Spirit. True faith sees ourselves as vessels. There is no boasting. There is no proclamation of our great works. I did this, 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 this. That's why God has blessed me. It's very easy to think like that. It's very easy to think that I'm doing all those things based on my merits, but actually you're doing it because God has worked in you by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. which is why you were able to fast, and which is why you were able to pray, which is why you were able to receive the knowledge that you have received by revelation from the Lord. So there's nothing to boast about. True faith does not boast in man. True faith boasts in God. All right, so that's what is very important for us. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Verse 31, do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. By faith, God's laws are established in our hearts. How? In the nature and character of Jesus. Because true faith realizes all things in the substance of Jesus Christ's fullness. I've done teaching on all this, so I'm assuming you understand what I'm saying. Faith is the substance of hope. If you set your hope on Jesus, and if you build your ministry and you build your ministry giftings, always setting your hope on Jesus, then the substance of your hope will be the faith that proclaims Jesus as Lord. If you set your hope on Jesus and by the Holy Spirit energize that hope through tongues, for instance, you will always realize through your tongues a manifestation of the substance that is of Jesus Christ, that will enable you to be established in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. You will learn through your tongues how to function by the Holy Spirit and not just by your spirit man. Hello? I hope you understand what I'm saying. There is a world of a difference between your spirit man and the Holy Spirit. Now, we are supposed to function by the Holy Spirit through our spirit man, yes. But the key word is by the Holy Spirit. Now, you can function by your spirit man without the Holy Spirit too, once you have learned how to use your tongues the way you want to use them. So the Lord is talking to us and telling us that the faith that we have must be in line with God's laws. So thou shalt not steal. It's very important. So you cannot be leading a ministry and stealing everything for yourself. That you are the be-all and end-all of the ministry. That is stealing. Never thought of it like that, did you? It's like God, the Lord talking in the book of Malachi. You are stealing from me my tithes. Yeah? What is due to me, you're not giving it to me. The glory is due me. You are my vessel. And you're taking my glory unto yourself. That is thievery. Let's look at something from the book of James, which is very interesting actually. James chapter 3. Or rather, James chapter 4. Verse 4. James 4, 4. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Did you ever think of adultery in those terms? You understand what he's saying there? You have an awesome anointing, you have an awesome gift. And your ambitions are all worldly. That sometimes we teach things in the church because at the root is the love of money. So we teach a carnal prosperity. It's not that there is no prosperity in the Bible. The Bible is written for prosperity. But not carnal prosperity. And that is spiritual adultery. So true faith establishes God's law. It does not commit adultery. It is not covetous. Somebody else operates in a wonderful gift. You want that. You can covet it, You can have a desire for the greater gifts from God, but there is a difference between a desire in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth for the glory of God and something that is entirely carnal and covetous that manifests itself in jealousy and hatred and vindictiveness. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit idolatry. What is that? When you replace God's sovereign name with your great ministry or your great gift. Or you can say, this is my church. Very subtle thoughts, but they represent seeds that will ultimately destroy. Why? Because they take God's place and replace it with something else. So the law of faith is a reality that establishes all things in accordance with God's law. And that happens through the substance that is of Jesus Christ. It is through the substance that is of Jesus Christ that the law is brought to fulfillment. So it's very important that you do things in the name of Jesus so that the substance is of Jesus Christ, so that as you build the altar of your giftings towards God, which is what it's all about, as you build the altar of your giftings towards God, it is being built in the name of Jesus. It manifests the fragrance of Jesus Christ through you by the Holy Spirit and not demonstrates that you are the greatest thing that happened in the Christian church. You know, it's very easy to be very anointed. Most people don't understand that the great challenge is to remain anointed in the spirit and life of Jesus. That's why Paul ends his ministry by saying, I have run the race with a faith that has remained true, isn't it? So important that we understand who we are glorifying. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. So that is the law of faith, right? Now let's look at the law of righteousness, verse 9, chapter 9 rather, or rather chapter 11. Chapter 9 rather, sorry. Verse 30. What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attain righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. Righteousness is right action. Faith has to flow out into right action. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. Just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointment. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Verse 3, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. They did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Now, what does that mean? They did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. When we function in our giftings, it must be entirely a manifestation of the righteousness of God. We are entirely His vessels. What does that mean? Let's turn to Romans 3 to understand that. Romans 3 verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. How? In fulfilled terms. Are you listening? in fulfilled terms. You're looking at God to bring forth the fulfillment of your ministry. Because you minister the gift. The gift is not an end in itself. The intent of the gift is so that it will be a means for you to minister. Minister what? Released from the law of sin and death. That is what all ministry is involved with. It is not there just to demonstrate healing for the sake of healing, but it is there to demonstrate the righteousness of God. Are you listening? You give the word of knowledge. It is not to demonstrate that you are very anointed. It is to tell people that God knows the intents of their hearts. God knows what they have done in their past. When you see graphic visions and you are able to discern the spirits behind a person's problem, that is to demonstrate to them that God can see, that God is involved in their lives. It's not to show them how wonderfully anointed and how graphically you can see visions. It's all there in the intents of your heart. If your intent is to glorify yourself, it will be communicated at the speed of thought. That's what you need to understand. We are not just simply saying something. I'm not just simply praying or preaching the word to you or teaching you the word. It comes with the thoughts and intents of my heart. What is in my heart? Who do I have? What is the intent of my heart? Who do I want to glorify? What am I trying to do here? What am I trying to do here? For who am I trying to do it? Whose name is being glorified? Whose church is being built? Whose testimony is being revealed? Whose work is being revealed? Is it the righteousness of God or is it the righteousness of man? So now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith of Jesus Christ. If you have an old King James, it is the faith of Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, for there is no distinction. So when we function by the faith of Jesus Christ, so that when we do something in righteousness, we are demonstrating that Jesus is doing it through us. That we are demonstrating that Jesus is doing something. That Jesus is teaching his flock. That Jesus is manifesting deliverance into the hearts of his flock. That the Holy Spirit is manifesting the glory of the risen Christ. That we are lifting up on high the name of Jesus so that all will be drawn to him and not to ourselves. Very subtle, guys, but you really need to understand this. For effective ministry, the law of sin and death must break. And the law of sin and death can only break through the witness of Jesus Christ. It is the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy. So righteousness, by the faith of Jesus Christ. You have a witness inside of you, in blood, water, and spirit. Whenever you function in that witness is of Jesus Christ. You cannot duplicate it. But if you choose to leave that witness and function by your own spirit, in your own name, and for your own ends, then you are functioning by some other kind of a witness of your flesh. A witness for your own glory. It's all in the intents of your heart, as simple as that. So when John says, test the spirits, he's also telling you, which spirit are you moving in? Whose name is being glorified in your ministry? righteousness, doing the right thing for the right reasons. Amen? Doing the right things for the right reasons. All right. Romans chapter 13. Verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Ultimately, the entire expression of ministry is love, isn't it? If we don't love, loving God, and because we love God, we are able to love people whom we minister to. Because His love is flowing through us. That is the fulfillment of the law. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. So when you prophesy, you don't prophesy 99% accuracy and put the 1% there to hook the person in into what you want them to do. That is a wrongful use of a gift. If you have made a mistake, a genuine mistake, no problems there. But if you repeatedly do that, you are in trouble, because that will grow. Because a little leaven leavens the whole dough. That's what you must understand. A little leaven leavens the whole dough. That's why when we operate in ministry, we operate in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It's not that you won't make mistakes. We all make mistakes. God has got no problems with not genuine mistakes. What God is saying is, don't minister dishonestly. Don't minister manipulatively. Do it in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truthfulness. That bread represents the substance of Christ that you have come to receive. Now, we have all grown in a certain level in Christ. There are many more levels to grow into. But in the level that you are in, function in it sincerely and truthfully. Yes, you have weaknesses. Yes, you have character flaws. Yes, you make mistakes. But when you do make a mistake, you take it to the Lord and address the mistake. Sometimes you won't know you have made a mistake. That's okay. But if you do know it, you need to address that and say, Lord, I should not have said that and I should not have done that. All right? So when you address your flaws before God, you are inviting His righteousness to work inside of you. You are inviting Him to save you. You are inviting Him to change you. You are inviting Him to do a work inside of you. You are inviting Him to fashion and form your inward parts so that you are saying and doing things for the right reasons. Now don't see this from the perspective of the law. See this from the perspective of grace. You need to understand that we are not talking here to try and frighten people, okay? We're trying to say that ministry is serious business because God is giving human lives into your hands. So, love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. You know the law of love. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But there is something on a more practical plane that Matthew brings out in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. This is something I think it's very important. It's something that I hold on to very dearly. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. This is the practical reality. Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. On a simple, practical level, okay? Don't do something to somebody that you would not like anybody else doing to you. We all want to be loved by God and blessed by God. So we should also love others and bless them. that is very crucial to the heart of ministry. Don't forget the days when you were a sinner, when you were helpless and doing all kinds of ridiculous things. Don't forget those days. Because once we grow in the Lord, we can be so self-righteous. We so easily forget how merciful God was to us, not realizing that God gave us probably thousands upon thousands of chances to draw us into the kingdom of God. All right, the law of holiness, the fourth pillar of ministry, is found in the book of Ezekiel chapter 43. You know that Ezekiel, the last eight chapters of Ezekiel, are a messianic vision. And Ezekiel sees a temple, and this temple is on a mount. Verse 4, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate facing towards east. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. You and I are the house of the Lord. Hello. As a minister, the glory of the Lord is meant to fill the house. Don't let some other kind of glory come inside. All right. Then I heard one speaking to me from the house while a man was standing beside me. And he said to me, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell among the sons of Israel forever, and the house of Israel will not again defile my holy name." The place of my throne. Where do you think is the place of his throne? Your heart. Your heart. And the place of the soles of my feet. The Holy Spirit is Parakletos. Literally, it means the one who walks alongside of us. The one who walks alongside of us. Verse 12. This is the law of the house. Its entire area on the top of the mountain, all around, shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Law of holiness. This house. When you minister in holiness unto the Lord. That is always the right position of ministry. So before you minister, you don't just depend on an anointing, you depend on being holy unto the Lord. When you prepare yourself for ministry, and any form of ministry requires that time of preparation, it is always to get yourself aligned in holiness unto the Lord, your insides. Holiness is being set apart unto God, very fundamental, right? So if you fast, it is to be set apart unto God. It is so that your heart will be alive to God. So if you pray in tongues in preparation for a message you're going to preach, or a time of ministry in which you're going to prophesy over people's lives, you pray in tongues so that you will be holy unto the Lord, so that your witness will be holy unto the Lord, that the witness that is going to operate when you minister is not going to be muddied waters. It's going to be clear, pure waters flowing out. We always fast so that the waters will be pure and holy. So that what is manifested is of the Lord and not of the flesh of man. So the law on the house, right? On the top of the mountain. Very powerful words. On the top of the mountain. All around shall be most holy. Right? Most holy. The bread of the most holy. Have you heard of that one? The substance of Jesus Christ. The bread of the most holy. Right? Leviticus talks about two kinds of bread, the bread of the holy, which is the bread of the presence, and the bread of the most holy, which is of the hidden manna of the name. We've done teaching on all these things, so I'm just going through that on the assumption that you understand that. So the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ manifests in a reality of His presence. It also manifests in a reality of His name. So when we minister in the name of Jesus. And that is a reality that opens in the mount of the Lord. David talked about it in the Psalms. Right? Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. The Mount of the Lord. The Mount of the Lord. David talked about it in the Psalms. We've done so much of repeated this verse so many times in this teaching series, right? Verse 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Now the Hebrew word for hill and the Hebrew word for mountain are the same Hebrew word. Who may ascend into the Mount of the Lord and who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands. Clean hands meaning righteous acts, all right? And a pure heart. A pure heart is a heart that loves God, a heart that is of the substance of the Master's fullness. That's the only definition of purity. A heart of flesh, like the prophet Ezekiel announced. I will sprinkle you with clean water and wash you from all of your idolatry and all of your filthiness. I will put a new spirit within you. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will remove that heart of stone. Yeah? I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. All right? So that heart of flesh is of the substance of the Master's fullness. How does it come? It comes out of a law of faith that understands that all hope has to be fixed on Jesus Christ. So when you minister, what is your heart fixed on? Your heart is fixed on Jesus. Your heart is fixed on what He is going to do through you today by the Holy Spirit. You have to cultivate that witness within you where no man can see you except your God. And upon the altar of your heart, Jesus Christ must be preeminent. I understand that that is not possible for us at an early stage in our ministry, but that is the direction we are going. As long as you understand that that is the direction you are going and you are willing to pursue it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit before the Father, it will come forth. But you must have that direction in your heart. Otherwise, you'll end up with Him telling you one day, I never knew you. You did all these things, but I was not in it. You didn't do it for me. You know, there are so many people who function in ministry in order to build a ministry or to serve their denomination or to serve their church. I wonder how many people do it for Jesus. I hope you understand that the two are not the same. There are so many denominations that teach their pastors to serve the denomination first. Or they equate serving the denomination with serving the Lord. It's not the same thing. Yes. So loyalty is to the organization instead of loyalty being to the Lord. That's why we've got all kinds of junk in the church today. Because the conscience has been seared. And this is key. To be able to ascend into the mount of the Lord and to stand in His holy place, to have clean hands and a pure heart. It is not difficult to have a pure heart in principle. as long as you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, he who sets his hope on Jesus Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. It will come. And has not sworn deceitfully. Who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. All this is so important in ministry. You know, remember the words of Jesus Christ to the Pharisees, you whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. Why? Because their ministry was full of dead men's bones. They were murdering people. They were not allowing people to come to their God anymore. And so easy to do that. Verse 5, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek thy face, even Jacob. Is it interesting, isn't it? The Lord picks up the name Jacob and not Israel. Why do you think so? Because he's saying that even if you are like a Jacob, right, I can still make you a man of God and a woman of God. And you will see my face because I am able to bring it forth, provided you are willing to seek my face. So what is the goal of ministry? To seek the face of the Lord. Because if you don't stand before the face of the Lord, there's nothing for you to minister to by. So first we minister to the Lord. And even as we minister to others, we minister to the Lord by proclaiming his name. So that we build through our hearts a highway through which the Lord our God will flow and do the work that he wants to do. Very powerful. We are sons of God. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20. 21. Verse 1. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that an awesome picture of how your heart functions in ministry? Your ministry is your heart, guys. Yeah? So who may ascend into the mount of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Praise the Lord. Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. So your heart can enable you to dwell in the tent of the Lord. You are tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. And if you are under the shadow of the Almighty, can you imagine the anointing that will flow? Peter walked down the streets and on both sides of the street, people were healed. Now you tell me how his shadow could fall on both sides of the street. God was talking not of Peter's shadow. He was talking about him overshadowing Peter. And that's all he did. He walked down the street, that's all. What is the whole Christian faith built on? The reality of God, guys. You and I are designed for God. You and I are designed to stand before God. For that purpose we were created. All of us have that right in Jesus Christ. It's a question of whether we want to exercise that right. And to exercise that right, all you have to start is by setting your hope. The law of faith says that he who sets his hope on Jesus will receive the substance of the faith of Jesus, the substance of the character and nature of Jesus. He will see the evidence of Jesus Christ as Lord in his heart, and he will stand before the Father at all times, in every situation and circumstance. It is given by law.
in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, that law. Powerful, isn't it? Just think about this. That's what ministry, that's the privilege of ministry, that you will learn how to function in God. You'll learn how to occupy a position before God. And as you learn how to occupy that position before God, and as you learn to lift up on high the name of Jesus, that position keeps on going higher and higher and higher. There's nothing to compete with. You don't have to put a knife behind somebody's back. You don't have to worry about who is stealing the sheep where and going where. And what somebody is planning behind the curtain, under the door, under the seat. Don't have to worry about all those ridiculous carnal thoughts. And do some real ministry instead of worrying about politics. All this is part and parcel of the Abrahamic covenant, right? Genesis 22. Genesis 22, verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." Now, what do you think is that place? That place is the place where your heart stands. That place that Ezekiel talked about on top of the mount. It's talking about a spiritual place. Yahweh Yireh. And Yahweh Yireh is meant to be open to your heart. Isn't that powerful? To be sons of God in those kind of terms. The Lord, not the Lord may provide, the Lord will provide. Hello? If you stand in the mount of the Lord will provide. It is not may provide, He could provide. Maybe if we are doing this the right way or that the right way, He may provide. No, He will provide. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. In the King James, it writes, it will be seen. On the mount of the Lord, it will be provided, it will be seen. Praise the Lord. So the revelatory gifts, what are they all about? It will be seen. Provided, what will be provided? The power gifts, it will be provided. What are the vocal gifts all about? Realizing that provision. The prophet Isaiah said, to whom would he teach the message? To whom would he teach knowledge? To whom would he give the message? Two realities. Message is the spontaneous reality. The knowledge is the abiding reality. Powerful. So when we move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there is a spontaneous reality and there is also an abiding reality. And it's awesome what God is building into us. Awesome. Don't muck it up. Don't muck it up because you have a small ambition and I have a small ambition. Listen, God's ambition over your life is phenomenal. Phenomenal. So just give Him the glory. Let Him do what He wants to do. He said you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Won't you want to find out what it's all about? That applies to you as a minister of the covenant of God. Because that's where you're going to demonstrate that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So don't muck it up because of some small ambition and some few bucks you want to put into your pocket. Come off it. Even if it's 100 million bucks, so what? It's just silly money. It's like, what's that guy Esau who sold his heritage for a blooming bowl of soup? That's what we are doing. So many people have given up, sold their ministry for a bowl of soup. How sad. Trading a position as sons of God before God at the speed of thought for a bowl of soup. So that a few guys can look up to you and say, oh my goodness, aren't you wonderful, Pastor? That's why you need to absorb God's word, then it'll get rid of all these silly carnal ambitions. God God will provide by oath of name. So when we flow by the Holy Spirit, God is bringing forth in us by the Spirit in the name of Jesus something awesome from the heart of the Father. Always remember this. It's a triune reality. And what the Spirit brings, He comes. Traditional Christian theology. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Another version of it is that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son. Powerful. And He's proceeding over you and into you. Isn't that something else? Doesn't that give you a place in the Son? And you don't have to compete for it. There's no such thing as, oh my goodness, I didn't have the right background. I was not born with the right skin color. I didn't come from the right social group. I didn't have the opportunities to go to school and go to university and go to Timbuktu. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's got nothing to do with your IQ, your EQ, your PQ, and all the CQs. You don't have to run around chasing the cheese. Isn't it nice to leave the rat race and get into the mount of the Lord and do an honest day's work without being pressured to do something else? By the Spirit, in Jesus' name, shall we pray. Father, we thank You for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets us free from the law of sin and death. The law of life, the law by which we live, move, and have our being in You, Father. And for this reason, You sent Your Son and Your Spirit, Lord, so that we will learn to do all things by the Spirit in the name of Jesus, so that we will walk before You and be holy and blameless before You. And this is the kind intention of Your will, to enable us, to teach us, O God, to walk by the Spirit in Jesus' name. As we talk about spiritual giftings, as we talk about operating in the vocal gifts, as we talk about operating in the revelatory gifts, as we talk about operating in the power gifts, O God, our Father, enable us to stand in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, so that You will always, O God, be able to see us and know us and teach us and lead us and guide us. You told Father Abram, Lord, to walk before You and to be holy and blameless. If we can walk before You, we will be holy and blameless. To walk before You, O Lord, You have given us Your Spirit. To walk before You, You have given us Jesus Christ as our inheritance and our possession. So that by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, we will be able to walk before You and be holy and blameless before You forever and ever. What an awesome release of grace and mercy over our lives. Father, lead us, direct our pathways, and let those four pillars, O God, of faith, righteousness, love, and holiness form, O God, the building blocks of our ministry, always in Christ Jesus, and always by the Holy Spirit, and always before You, Holy Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.